My name is Mike Teer, and some of you may not know me, and that light is bright. My wife Susie and I have been attending here together for about 3 years. I've been attending here for about five, and one of those was COVID, so that sort of doesn't count. We wouldn't see each other, so you may not know me. You probably know some of my kids. Bethany and Jeremy Norberg, Gavin and Gabby, grandkids. Jeremy was on bass this morning. You probably have seen him many times playing for us. Eric and Wendy, Noah and Joel Teer, children and grandkids. And I'm sure most of you know them. And I also have more children today. Amber and Brent Barnes are here. And Tristan, Gideon, Eli, and Jonah are with us, and so I've named off eight grandkids, and that's half, okay? We are blessed. Susie and I are also part of John Mark's small group on prayer that meets on Wednesday nights, and an interesting thing about a Wednesday night prayer meeting, which is very Baptist, is we actually pray, it's a great time together. Thank you, John Mark, for giving me the privilege of speaking today. Thank you for being here. I was kind of looking around this morning and was reminded that a group about this size 2,000 years ago changed the world. And so don't let that sink in. A group about this size changed the world, and we're part of that change. Susie and I both have done some ministry. Susie spent some years on the mission field in some very hard places. I spent part of my life in two different churches, kind of in a role like Brock's, so worship and administration, very similar to Brock's. Susie had to deal with some very hard situations. All I had to deal with was some Baptist deacons. Okay, and so some of you really understood that joke. It's a privilege to be here today. And matter of fact, the church in Arlington, Debbie and Carl Joins were there. Let me tell you, they were so supportive. And Marla's here today too. Marla and Bethany were this high at that time. I won't tell you how long ago that was, but it was a while. Let's begin together. I think it'll be on the screen by praying together the Lord's Prayer. And there we are. So let's pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I'm going to take one line, one sentence from that prayer today and talk about it. Shay, thank you so much for leading worship and the added part that you added into that. I'm so grateful to Brock and the team as they lead us to worship. I also want to commend you. I sense as I worship with you that there's a growing urgency to enter in with the Lord, and that's because of you are entering in to worship, and so I commend you for that. So it says, the verse says, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. We all need forgiveness. Shay spoke that so well as she was leading us in great is thy faithfulness. We are, the Bible says, we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And I don't know about you, but I am not always holy. We know the Ten Commandments. Don't kill, don't steal, don't desire what your neighbor has. Worship only God, and that includes a couple other things like making idols and using his name honorably. Honor your parents. Stay sexually pure. Set aside a day for rest and to worship God. Tell the truth. And if we're honest, we even fail at some of those. Probably the one we fail the most at is setting aside a day to rest and to worship God, to just kick back a little bit. So in the process, we live our lives, and then at some point we realize that we are in need of a Savior. And the good news is Jesus, as Shay so well pointed out, came, died on the cross, that we could be forgiven for our sins. And we turn, walking away from God, we turn and begin to walk toward God. He meets us, he redeems us, he forgives us, and we enter into a relationship with Holy God. And today, if you are sitting here and you've never begun that relationship, I want to encourage you that it's a good time to do that. It's a great time to do that. And if you desire that, I would love to speak with you afterwards. I'm not going to take the time right now to get into that, but I would love to speak with you afterwards. And if there's more than one of you, there's a dozen people I could call at a moment's notice that could help. And so, yes. And so, if that's you, I want to talk more. But for the rest of us, we still need forgiveness. Because until we get to heaven, we're still sinners. We still have to obey those Ten Commandments. We still have anger. We still have resentment. We still struggle. And at least maybe it's just me. You know, I'm always reminded when I get to speak that most of the message is for me, not just the people that I'm speaking to. And so the good news is Jesus comes to forgive us also on a daily basis. And I sometimes forget that I need that check-in on a regular basis with the Lord to make sure things are still right, that I am still walking in repentance, that I am walking in his forgiveness. Beautiful story in the Gospel of Luke about what we call the prodigal son. And I'm going to refocus it just a little bit today and talk about the loving father. Because we know the son, we know the story, most of us in the room know the story. The son wanted his inheritance, took his inheritance, went and wasted it on sinful living, and ended up broke in poverty in a mess, and came to himself and turned around, repented, turned, and went back to the father. And this is what we find from the father, and it tells us who God is in our life. It tells us who God is in our life. So while he was a long way off, his father saw him, was filled with compassion for him, ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. Then, I skipped the part where the son confessed, because that's part of it, but I'm focusing on the father. The father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate." Side note, I grew up in West Texas, and when I was in high school and first couple of years of college, I got to eat with a rancher on a regular basis. Fatted calf is good, okay? Just saying. So anyway, back to the story. The father was looking for the son. Remember, we're talking about God and we're talking about us. He's looking for the son. He ran to meet his son when he saw him coming. He restored him and threw him a party. That's how God feels about us. Thanks, Jim. We need forgiveness. We turn to God. We confess our sins. We find that forgiveness in him. And he restores us. And it's not a one and done. Salvation, yes. entering into the relationship is there, but it's a daily thing for us to repent, turn back, keep the relationship with the Father. I love the passage in 2 Chronicles. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I will heal their land, I will forgive their sin. But then we often stop right there, but I love the next part. It says, my eyes will be open and my ears will be attentive to the prayers offered in this place. Boy, that's good. The Father is attentive. His ears are open. His eyes are open to hear and to see as we come back to Him. That's good news. That's good news. That's the easy part. The tough part is the second half, just to be honest. Forgive us our sins as we forgive others who sin against us. That's where it's hard for us. That's where I'm always conscious. I love the way John Mark and the steady week after week emphasis on putting it into practice. I love that. I so appreciate that. So support that. And I was saying, okay, how do I put this into practice? And it finally dawned on me, I'm slow, the second half of the verse is putting it into practice. The first part is we repent, we have a relationship with God. We put it into practice with each other. And that's the hard part. God has a really strong emphasis here on forgiving as we've forgiven. And just in case we missed it, the next two verses after the Lord's Prayer say this: for if you forgive people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you also. But if you do not forgive others when they sin, your Father will not forgive you. That's how serious he is about it. Amen. Right after Jesus gave us the Lord's Prayer, he said, and that line is important. That line is important. That's how we put it into practice. That verse causes me to sit up and take notice. Our forgiveness cost Jesus his life. And I want to recognize right now that us forgiving is going to cause us giving up some anger. It's going to cause us giving up some resentment. It's going to cause us some holding on to some things that we're just going to have to put into his hands. And I want to be really sensitive here, because some of you have gone through some really difficult times. Some of you are going through some really difficult times right now. I've gone through some really difficult times. I know what it's like to forgive, to have to forgive in some difficult situations. And so do you. But I want to be real sensitive that we, and as we're in the process, that we don't forget to give each other some grace, because it takes some time at times. Amen. There's so many things in the Bible where it kind of comes in pairs. We comfort others with the comfort we've been given. We are called to be holy because we worship a holy God. We are blessed to be a blessing. That's what he said to Abraham. And here, we are reminded that he loved us so that we could love others. He forgave us so that we can forgive others. And it's tough. That's the hard part. Or at least it is for me. But he calls us to it. He knows how harmful unforgiveness is for us to hold on to. You know, if we hold on to anger, if we hold on to bitterness and resentment, the only person that's hurting is us. And God loves us enough to say, give it up. I want to, a couple of things. Forgiveness, I want to clarify some things too, because I know this is a hard subject. Forgiveness is not easy. I've already said that. Forgiveness is not forgetting. You always heard forgive and forget. Well, let me tell you a little secret. It's really easy to, by an act of the will, and I'll get to that point in a minute. Forgiveness is an act of the will. It's very easy to say, I forgive. I choose to forgive. You can't do that with forgetting. Now, as old as I am, it's getting easier. But you can't do that. So it's not forgetting, but it is not, and I'm going to get one more thing on that in just a minute. It is also not trusting. I learned a long time ago that there is a real difference between trust and forgiveness. Trust is learning or someone exhibiting predictable behavior over time. We know what they do. Some people have. And I would never ask you to stay or to endure a harmful relationship, an abusive relationship. That's not what we're saying. And if someone has proven themselves over time to not be trustworthy, we're not saying that you have to stay and endure that. We are saying we forgive, but it would be foolish to trust. There are some situations we should never trust. And we think that's very important in this church, because if you heard a while ago, Wendy talking about our children, before you can work with your children, you have to prove yourself to be trustworthy. I'm a CPA. My fingerprints are in Austin. I had to prove myself to not have a criminal record to get my license. So don't confuse trusting with forgiveness. Forgiveness is there, but we may never trust, and we certainly may never reconcile. And it's not necessarily reconciling. It can be, but it doesn't have to be. Sometimes, and this is a situation where reconciling is just not possible. Sometimes the person that you need to forgive is gone. They're out of your life. They've moved. They may have even died. I've had some loss in my life. I lost father, mother, brother, close sister-in-law I was close to in a period of 7 months a few years ago. I've lost a son. I've lost a wife. And sometimes some of those memories come back, and they were not all positive. And those memories come back, and I choose to forgive. And that memory may come back tomorrow. I choose to forgive. That memory may come back the next day. I choose to forgive. Maybe it doesn't come up for a week. Maybe it doesn't come back up for a month. Maybe it doesn't come back up for a year. But if it comes back, I choose to forgive again. And while I may not forget, it loses its power. You know, it loses its power to affect me. And that's good. That's freeing. So, and I found it to be, and some of you have some grief, I found it to be an extremely important part of my grieving process with loss. Forgiveness is letting go. It's just simply saying, God, it's yours. It's as simple as that. It's an act of the will saying, I choose to forgive. And sometimes that's hard, but you do it, it gets easier. And it is It is a part of following Jesus. We are called to forgive. Back to the story of the good father. The son who went away had a brother. He was the unforgiving brother. So, again, cut the passage to be just about the father. Let's look how he responded there. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. "My son," said the father, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours." This is God. This is us. The father went out. I think he ran. I think it was that important. Can't prove that from Scripture. He pleaded with him. He reminded him that he was always there. And he said, "Everything I have is yours." We have the abundance of God living within us. We have the Spirit of God living within us. He is always there. We are called to forgive out of his grace, out of his mercy, out of his living as a Holy Spirit within us. And he told him, said, "You're missing the party." And folks, I want to say to you this morning, don't miss the party. Don't let unforgiveness rob you. It's not going to rob you of your salvation, but it's going to rob you of the joy. David said, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." Well, part of that is letting Jesus have the stuff. Just letting Jesus have the stuff. Don't miss the party. So I'm going to pray for us. As I've talked, maybe the Lord has already spoken to you, said you need to repent of this or you need to forgive this. And I'm going to ask him to come again and speak to us. And we're just going to wait a second. Let him touch. And sidebar, if you're totally up on both things that I've talked about, pray for somebody else. You know, it's not outside of God's economy to gather us up to touch one. And so if you're cool with everything I've said, you're totally walking with the Lord freedom, pray for somebody else. But today the Lord may be speaking to you, so you need to repent of this. You need to begin a relationship with me today. You may need to forgive, and that forgiveness may be somebody else in this room, just to be honest. The people that are the closest to us are the ones we often have to forgive the most, because that's, we're rubbing shoulders with them every day, and that's just kind of the way it is. So it makes sense that a lot of your forgiving and my forgiving is going to happen with people either that we live with or people in this room, because we spend time together. So let's pray. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and speak to our hearts, and let's just see what God does. So Heavenly Father, loving Father, Father that wants our best, would you come and speak to our hearts? Would you come and speak to us about places we need to repent? Come and speak to us about someone that we need to forgive. Maybe someone in the room, maybe someone in our family that we need to forgive. So speak to us, Heavenly Father. For some of you, you might have heard a name. You might have seen a picture, or you might have remembered an event. don't just pass that by. Deal with it as the Holy Spirit guides you. Father, give us the courage. Give us the will to walk in repentance and to walk in forgiveness before you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We kind of changed the order of service up. And I talked with Brock about this, and we talked and changed the order of service up. We sang four songs earlier, and so that at the very end, we could just dismiss a little bit differently. One of the things the Lord is teaching me is to be a blessing and to speak blessings. And so if you would give me permission, I would like to speak a blessing over you before we end today. So would you stand? And I'm going to read it so I don't mess up. But it's still from the heart. The verse of scripture that I'm using is at the very end of 2 Corinthians. And it says, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." So this is my blessing. I bless you to go with the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ resting on you. I bless you to go with the love and favor of God surrounding you. And I bless you to go with the fellowship of the Holy Spirit giving you the strength you need. In the name of Jesus. You're dismissed. Amen. Thank you.